Good morning, everyone. Sorry, give me a 1 minute just to get all this ready here. Okay, yeah, thank you so much, Pastor Winnie, for your introduction. Okay, thank you. Okay, all right. So, well, a few weeks ago, when Dr. Thomas asked me to preach today, I started praying. I asked God to give me a topic, a passage, what he wants to use me to speak to all of you today. But so I believe I received some ideas and a few passages. But then, you know, in the last two Sundays, when I listened to the sermons, I was like, Pastor Alvin, you've said everything I wanted to say. And then last week, Pastor Chia, she is not here today, but she has also explained so clearly what I plan to talk about. So I guess I'm done here. You can go home and watch the sermon of the last 2 weeks. Well, you know I'm joking, right? So please don't go yet, because when I seek the Lord again about the sermon, I was like, Lord, is this really what you wanted me to say? And the Lord gave me the confirmation again. And I do believe that, like, this is the Lord want me to actually give you the message which Pastor Alvin has already talked about, and Pastor Chia last week as well. I was reminded that, like, in the Bible, a lot of times God also, like, when there's something important, he will say it three times. Like, he calls Samuel three times. He asked Peter three times, do you love me? And, like, also in our Cantonese, you know, we have a phrase we say, 终于该是要讲三次. So here we go. This is my sermon today. And before that, I would like to actually pray again before we start, okay? So, dear Lord, thank you so much for this beautiful morning, Father Lord. Thank you that you have allowed me this privilege to stand here to speak to your people this morning. Father, I pray that you will anoint my lips to speak truth only from you, Father Lord, and that, Lord, I pray that your truth will penetrate the hearts of your people, that will cause transformation in their life. Thank you so much, Father Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I believe that the Lord really want me to bring this message about the one thing across to you. So I'm only talking about one thing today. And even though, like, Pastor Alvin has a few points, but I'm only going to talk about one thing. And I pray that the Lord will truly, like, anoint my lips today. So before we start, let me ask you a question. What is one thing that occupies your mind most? Most often this past week, what is the one thing that keep on coming to your mind? What is the one thing you have been working hard for or spending most time on? Or are there so many things happening in your life right now that you just can't even single out one thing to focus on? Today, we will look at three passages with one thing in it, and we will explore in two parts. Okay. We will explore these three passages in two parts, understanding the one thing and also choosing the one thing. Okay, and I hope by the end of this message, you will learn to fully embrace the one thing every moment of your life. So now, let us begin to explore what this one thing is, to understand what this one thing is. So let us read the first passage together. Okay. Oh, I hope it's not too small for you. Okay, let us read together. Okay, Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparation that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Okay, so this is the first passage we are looking at with the one thing I have highlighted like in red, the one thing. Well, this is a very familiar passage, a story to many of us. Martha and Mary, the sisters of Lazarus from Bethany, whom Jesus raised from his death in John chapter 11. They were dear friends of Jesus. It's not hard to imagine that Martha wanted everything perfect when Jesus came to her place to visit. So her mind was distracted by all the preparations and neglected the only one thing that is needed. So what is this one thing that Jesus is talking about? You know, when I was a young Christian, when I was a new Christian, I came across this passage and I held it dearly. I held it, this passage, like religiously. I used to see this in a two-dimensional way. It's like the two ends of a line. I can either be Mary or Martha. So I had taken this story as a command from the Lord to read and study the Bible. I kept reminding myself, I need to be like Mary, not Martha. I must sit at the feet of Jesus to learn from him. You see, growing up in this performance-based world, my mindset as a new Christian at that time was all about what I needed to do as a Christian and what is best practice, how to be a good Christian. At that time, my kids were young and my free time was scarce. And because Jesus also asked us to serve, so I often find myself struggling, making hard choices between serving or studying God's word. With these verses at the back of my mind and the limited time in my hand, I often decide to jump into another Bible study instead of committing to another ministry. Basically, I made sure that my time in ministry does not exceed the time I spend in God's word. However, as time passed, I remember one day I was meditating on this passage again, and the Lord opened my mind to see that this is not a two-dimensional command. I don't need to choose to be either Mary or Martha. I could be both. I could be both if I grasp the meaning of the one thing that is needed. And the Lord granted me understanding by leading me to another passage written by David, the man after God's own heart. And in Psalm chapter 27, verse 4, it says, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." To dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life is basically remaining in his presence 24/7. And that is the better thing that Mary has chosen, to sit at the feet of the Lord, to be in his presence, and it will not be taken away from her. The one thing we need is not to worry about what we need to do, but to first seek God and his presence. Mary's simple, wholehearted devotion to Jesus brought her to the feet of her Lord. Sitting at the feet of Jesus is a posture of a disciple who is ready to accept, receive, and obey what Jesus reveals. It is a posture of submission, faith, and love. It's all about the heart, loving Jesus, wanting to know more about him and from him, spending time with him. Jesus visited Mary and Martha at their house. He has given them his love, his presence, his teaching, which also prepared Mary for her great deed in John chapter 12, where again we found Mary at the feet of Jesus, this time anointing Jesus with expensive perfume and wiping his feet with his hair. With her hair. Before we do anything with kingdom value for Jesus, we need to first seek him and embrace who he is and what he has given us, his presence and his love. Jesus came to this world for us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He gave himself to us to save us from our sins. He died on the cross for us. He conquered sin and death so that our relationship with God could be restored and we could come into the presence of the Lord. He was raised so that we could live under his resurrection power, just as Pastor Jia talked about last week. Only when we live under Jesus' resurrection power would our serving have any kingdom value. So, what have we learned about the one thing we need? Doesn't matter what we are doing, whether studying the Bible or serving, or even in our daily life, the only thing we need, the most important thing we need, is to remain in Jesus' presence with a heart devoted to him, ready to learn about him, to appreciate him, to seek him in everything that we do. Remember, Jesus saved us not merely to have a religion that requires us to do things for him, because God doesn't need that. He is the Almighty God, and he can accomplish everything without any of us. No, he didn't save us just for us to work for him. Jesus paid a great price on the cross to save us so that we may have a loving relationship with him. And he called us to serve. His call for us to serve is a privilege for us to partner with him in his presence so that we may experience him and grow in our knowledge and our love for him. Remember this diagram from Dr. Cha last week? Well, I have a copy. This is from her, okay? So this is how we can be both Mary and Martha as well. Remember, Pastor Cha talked about to begin to live the resurrection story, we need to tarry with Jesus over scriptures and over fellowship. We sit at Jesus' feet, tarry with him over scripture. We work alongside him as we serve and we tarry with him over fellowship. Jesus did not ask us to serve him alone by our own effort, but to rely on his Holy Spirit and trusting in him, abiding in him. But when Martha tried to serve Jesus with her own effort and her own way, when she was not in the presence of the Lord, she gazed on the many things that needed to be done instead of the Lord, and she became grouchy and bitter. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever became grouchy and bitter and started pointing fingers at others. You may even have asked Jesus to strengthen those who are serving together with you. If we are honest, we all have been, all have our mother time, don't we? If you ask Chun, my husband, he can testify to you that he has, just now, Pastor Winnie say, I'm a woman of one husband, but I can tell you, Chun has two wives in this one body, the grouchy one and the sweet wife, okay? Well, there is the sweet one in there, right? I hope so, because I don't like that grouchy one that much either. Okay, so the Lord just reminded me that I once did what Martha did as well. I actually tried to ask God to change my husband. And you know what happened? The Lord used a book called The Power of Praying Wife to bring me to his feet and change me first. And that was how I come to the Lord 22 years ago. So how comforting to know that Jesus did not cancel Martha because she has neglected to seek his presence. And God doesn't cancel us either when we forgot to seek his presence. Instead, Jesus gently and lovingly pointed Martha to the one thing she needs. The one thing better than Mary was the one thing better that Mary has chosen to be in the presence of the Lord, to fellowship with him, to abide in him. Jesus knew Martha's heart. He knew that she also loves him. She knew her desire to serve him with her best. However, her passion to serve Jesus has distracted her from the Lord himself. Her busyness has teared her away from God's presence. When we are feeling grouchy while serving, will you take a step back? Will you pause? Check whether you have lost sight of the one thing you need. Are you tarrying with the Lord in your ministry? Are you still in his presence following him? Now, let us move into our second part, choosing the one thing. Okay. You know, when we serve apart from Jesus' presence, we fail to bear fruit that yield kingdom value. Jesus said, apart from him, we can do nothing. In Mark chapter 10, verse 17 to 22, Jesus encountered this rich young ruler who ran to him, knelt before him, and asked him a genuine question, saying, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Knowing that this young man has kept all the commandments faithfully since he's young, Jesus told him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. The young official was sad at this word, went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. What a sad ending. The man had received an open invitation, the golden opportunity from Jesus to be in his presence. But the man, so full of earthly possessions, he couldn't let go of them. He refused this golden opportunity to be in the presence of the Lord, to follow him. Without the presence of Jesus in his life, all his works from young, all that he has done to abide by the laws are in vain. Apart from Jesus' presence, no one can bear fruit that yield kingdom value. We may not be as rich and powerful as this young man. However, there are so many things in our life that pulls us away from God's. The one thing we truly need. We live in a world that's full of distractions that bombard our mind constantly. Entertainment, our work, our family, our study, our health issues, our passion and desire, even though we know we should desire God above all else. But in reality, if we are honest, we may sit in front of a K-drama much longer than we spend time with God in His words. For some of us, it may not be drama. It may be your ministry, your games, your sports, your dream house, your dream university, your dream life that occupies your thoughts. Our heart is deceitful and we are easily swayed. We need to be purposeful, intentional, mindful to prioritize choosing the one thing, God's presence over everything else. Now, what does being in the presence of the Lord look like? Have you ever seen a dad taking his child to a toy store and the child excitedly pointing at everything, wanting his dad to buy something for him? Is that what in the presence of the Lord looks like? No, not really. But a lot of times we make it that way. We just pray to the Lord and ask Him for this and that, and we forgot to seek Him first. In Psalm chapter 27, verse 4, David tells us what in the presence of the Lord truly looked like. Let's read it together again. Okay. Let's read it together. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. Imagine you can see the Lord in front of you when you are in His presence. He's just so glorious and wonderful. I don't think we can ever tear our eyes away from Him. Now, of course, gazing at the beauty of the Lord doesn't mean that we just keep staring at God. That's impossible anyway, since we can't see the physical God in our current time, not even in heaven, because in Revelation, we see the light of God that's seated on the throne, but then we don't really, He is so glorious, so amazing, we can't really see Him, gaze at His light. So, how do we gaze at the beauty of the Lord? Well, one very practical way for us is to turn to the Bible. God give us the Bible to reveal Himself to us. Unfortunately, as we are living in a performance-based world, most of the time, when I turn to the Bible, I'm always in the action mode. Like when I study the Bible, I often immediately dive into searching what lesson God wants me to learn. What should I do about that truth? How do I apply it? And I just want to see how to do again in my doing Christian mode. These are all good. I'm not saying that they are bad. It's good for us to seek what truth God is trying to impress upon our heart and how to live under those truths. But then, when we do that too quickly, when I so quickly search for what I should do, I neglect a very important thing that I should seek first. I missed out gazing at the beauty of the Lord. To gaze at the beauty of the Lord is to know God and be mesmerized by who He is. Jesus saved us to have a loving relationship with Him. The ultimate goal of every believer is to get to know Him and love Him. The Bible is full of verses about this. For example, John chapter 17, verse 3, "And this is eternal life, that you know me, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Jeremiah chapter 31, 34, "For they should all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Acts 17:27, God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. Before we find out what God wants us to do, how he wants us to live our life, we must first and foremost seek to know God first, because only when we know God, we can have a true relationship with him. How is your relationship with God? Do you really know him? Well, my children have two grandmas, my mom, whom they called Popo, and Chun's mom, they call Mama. If you ask my kids which grandma do they know better, I can assure you that all four of them will tell you it's Mama. Because since the time our eldest one, Gerald, was born, Mama would come from time to time to stay with us, sometimes for months, help us out with the kids and any work around the house. She would fetch the kids from school, play with them, cook for them. She would take them out for meals. She would travel with us on holidays, and we would go visit her on short breaks. On the other hand, my children don't get to see my mom as much as I wish. Because of her health issues, she cannot travel freely. And even when we visit her, my kids can't really communicate with her because they don't speak Cantonese, and my mom's English is minimal. So if you ask my kids about my mom, they probably have to search their memory hard. And the most they could tell you is that she is gentle, she is quiet, and she cooks yummy cooked chicken wings and tomato eggs. So do they really know Papa? I don't think so. They know of Papa. They saw her occasionally, but they don't really know her personally. So among their two grandmas, who would you say my kids have a real relationship with? Definitely Mama, since they have many experiences together with her, as they have been in each other's presence, and they speak and listen to one another as well. They know that her voice, her preferences, her love for them. In the same way, to have a real relationship with God, we must seek to know him. To be in God's presence, we must gaze upon his beauty. So when we study God's word, before we look for what we should do, we should first ask God, Lord, what do you want me to learn about you today? Ask yourself, what character of God I can see in each of these events and commands that I am reading in the Bible. When we pray or when we serve him, we can anticipate experiencing God through answered prayers or seeing his hands in our ministry. And when God reveals himself to you, take time to meditate and gaze upon each of these attributes of God. When we know him more and more, his perfect character will cause our eyes to be transfixed on him. And when we gaze at the beauty of our Lord, his perfect character will draw us into a deeper, loving relationship with him. And when we meditate on the perfect character of God, we find the discernments, clarity, wisdom, strength, and courage to serve him and bring his loving presence into this world. When we know him by his perfect character, our faith in him will grow, and we will learn to trust and worship him in all situations. Learning to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord is especially important when we disciple new believers or our children. We want them to enter into a relationship with the Lord. If all we tell them is, as a Christian, this is how we should live our life, and this is how we should behave, we should not do this or that without first leading them to know the person of God. They may eventually come to the conclusion that Christianity is all about rules and behavior, about all the do's and don'ts, and we've successfully turned their faith into a religion. After all, how could a person love God if he does not know him? How does a person love God if he does not know him personally? How could a person trust God if they have not known of his majesty, his mighty power, his faithfulness? How could a person do what Jesus does and become more like him if they do not even know how he is like? Again, I'm not saying we should not teach our children God's commands. That is perfect. That is something we must do. But before we do that, we must make sure they know the God behind all those commands and God's heart behind each of those commands. This is something I need to seek forgiveness from God and apologize to my children as well. Instead of spending more time in pointing them to see the love, the grace, the power, the sovereignty, the forgiveness, glory, the holiness, the authority, the justice, the righteousness, the faithfulness, the trustworthiness of our Creator and our Savior, who deserves all our praises and all our love, I had focused more on pointing them to see how to behave as a Christian, what to do and what not to do. I reduced my majestic God to a set of rules. And isn't that how there are many people in this world look at Christianity right now as well? Before they could see what they could see who God truly is, their eyes are already blocked out by the rules. I still remember one of my friends told me her husband refused to join our fellowship because he's been told if he became a Christian, he must stop playing mahjong, which he loves. Before we could tell him about Jesus, before we could tell him anything about Jesus, who didn't come for the healthy but the sick, he has already shut the door. So embracing the one thing, being in the presence of the Lord to gaze at his beauty, is not only important for new believers. It is what each one of us should prioritize in our life daily. When we fix our eyes on Jesus, when we seek to know him better, his likeness grow in us. What are the things that are consuming your thoughts and affected your relationship with God right now? Would you surrender those things all to Jesus and intentionally choose to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and focus on the one thing you need? As you continue to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, as you continue to know God better, you will start to see things from God's perspective. So, and that is how God wants us to live our life. Okay, so that is our message for today. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you so much for your presence with us today. Thank you so much for your love, for your grace, for your awesome power that you have saved us, that you have sent your Son to come to this world to save us from the power of sin, so that we can have a loving relationship with you. Lord, as we leave this place today, Father, I pray that you will help us to remember, to remain in your presence. Help us to intentionally choose your presence. Help us to intentionally look to you each and every day, to seek you, to gaze upon the beauty of you, to learn more and more about you before we learn about anything else. We are first and foremost, You are our beginning, and help us to begin each of our day gazing at you and learning from you. Thank you so much, Father Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Janice. Yeah. Really appreciate your meaningful, practical, and also heart-searching message. I believe every one of us, we need to learn, unlearn, and relearn a lot of things. Thank you so much once again. Let us worship the Lord with one song.